This is Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR. This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
Welcome to Sports Talk 870. I'm your host, Earl Robinson, and I'll be with you until 2 o'clock discussing sports with you. So just give us a call at 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. We won't do it today or early next week, but we will be giving away basketball tickets this year. So we'll give away all of Michigan State home games. And we'll give you the tickets. We'll give you the details as we get closer. But it'll be starting soon. We're giving tickets away to all the Spartan home games. So give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870. Got a big game tomorrow. That's Michigan State and Nebraska. Huge game. It's classic. The number one offense in the Big Ten facing the number one defense in the Big Ten. Who will prevail? Will it be the number one defense, Michigan State, or the number one offense that moves the ball around and has a very threatening quarterback who's playing very well, Taylor Martinez of Nebraska? So it'll be an interesting game from that standpoint, and we'll have Jack Ebling and Drew Sharp will be on a little bit later on to give us their opinion on who they think will win the contest between Nebraska and Michigan State. Other than that, it doesn't look like there have very many, or actually any close games this week. Other than that one, that'll be the closest game I think we can say going in. I mean, Michigan against Illinois, Illinois at Ohio State, Iowa at Indiana, and Penn State at Purdue. So those are the games, and I don't think any of them, any of those games draws a lot of excitement or a lot of curiosity from you, but that's what we have this week in the Big Ten. Hey, give us a call. Talk Big Ten sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. But more importantly, though, we need you to spread the word around. Tell everyone you know and tell them that you can enjoy sports every afternoon right here on WKAR in East Lansing from 105 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. If you've never called us before, we invite you to become a first-time caller. Join us in the afternoons. Call us up. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. Now, Alex, we'll be at the game tomorrow. So what do you, you know, how are you looking at this game between Michigan State and Nebraska? I mean, you've made some pretty good picks this year. So, you know, Jack and Drew acknowledge you've made some pretty good kick picks this year. So how do you see that when you come out?
I appreciate it, Earl. You know, you're still obviously three games back in the standings. I'm not even in the standings, so it's not saying a lot, even though I've called a couple games. But for that game tomorrow, this is what I'm looking for. I'm looking for how the pass rush will be against Taylor Martinez. I think if they put the pressure on him with as much as Will Golston's, you know, 6'7" frame, he's a giant. If they put the pass pressure on Taylor Martinez, especially from the weak side, I don't think that Nebraska will have any chance of scoring touchdowns against this team. On the offensive side of the ball, Earl, I think it's going to be basically how Andrew Maxwell will stay composed. I think, you know, it's his consistency, it's his accuracy. Those are the common things that he's been working on this year, you know, trying to get better at. So when push comes to shove, I think it starts with the front seven and Taylor Martinez, and then basically Andrew Maxwell. That's what does it for me, Earl. What about for you?
Well, I've been following Nebraska all year long, and I really like the improvement that I've seen from Taylor Martinez. So I'm going with Nebraska. I just think Taylor Martinez, he's developed so much. You know, he's really a solid quarterback right now. At the beginning of the year and after what he did last year, there were a lot of concerns about Martinez, but he's really did a good job this year. And now, you know, and I'm still wondering, was what we saw last week at Michigan State, was that just a one-game wonder?
Right.
Was that the, you know, it's hard to say whether that's all of a sudden going to set a trim for them getting to the quarterback and playing. The defense has been good all year long, but they've been able to stop people. But getting pressure on the quarterback, we hadn't seen that till that game last week. So it's been very reluctant. So, you know, I'm still going to go with Nebraska reluctantly. But,
okay.
I'm going to give them a reluctant vote to win that game. So We can see that, and it should be a heck of a game. I mean, we should be seeing a very good game coming up tomorrow.
Yeah, and you know, Earl, this is the first matchup as a Big Ten team for Nebraska against Michigan State. Mark D'Antonio sent a letter out to the whole university today explaining how your football team needs you in your seat with your game face on to be a difference maker in this important game. This is the first time D'Antonio sent a letter out to the university all year, the whole year. And obviously, I think with as big as a game that D'Antonio and the team, you know, are trying to make this be, I say Michigan State pulls out on top. That's my prediction, Earl.
Well, they can pull out on top, but I hate to tell Mark this. Michigan State fans, they're gonna be a lot of Nebraska red in those seats. Michigan State fans will sell their tickets or do whatever, but they won't be at every single game. And this is a game they should be at. They should give their team a lot of support.
Right.
It's hard for me to visualize that they're going to be so there, loud and boisterous for Michigan State. So I'm just not reluctant to see that Michigan State can do that. I just hopefully they do, but it's hard to see that they will because they haven't shown it before.
Right, absolutely. And even though they haven't shown it before, I do think that there is a first time for everything. It's the first game against Nebraska as a Big Ten team. It's the first time, in the last 2-3 years that Michigan State has started so strong and then has had to come back, through all the adversity, through all the games of inches and emotions. So I think that with this game, I don't know about you, Earl, I envision it to be a close game.
Oh, yeah. Should be a very close game. I expect to be, the odds are like 1 or 2 points, so I expect it to probably be within a field goal or at least a touchdown for either team going down the stretch.
Now, Nebraska has a tradition of producing great NFL defensive tackles. How do you think this offense align with the injuries at center, the injuries at the tackles? How are they going to contain this front four?
See, that's the thing, because that's what gives Nebraska the advantage, because their interior is so good. And as we know, with Michigan State being banged up as they are, it's going to be a big challenge for Michigan State offensive line. They're trying to be better. They're trying to get better. But, that's a big part of the game, and they're going to have to do something with that Nebraska line. If they can't, it could get ugly. It could get very ugly if they can't contain Nebraska's offensive. Nebraska can't contain, Michigan State. If Michigan State gets inside, get a chance to score some, then it could be very difficult.
Yeah, and even besides the fact that the offensive line needs to protect Maxwell, let's look at it from the run game perspective. Look at it with Le'Veon Bell. How is he, going to get those open holes and break out for games? I mean, when Le'Veon Bell rushes for probably over 100 yards, I'm pretty sure they've won every game when he does that. So with that said, Earl, I think that is also a pretty big key, is establishing the offensive line. We've seen it all year. We've seen, the inability for that line to make holes and get the push.
And Le'Veon just doesn't have that breakaway speed. He's a good back. He breaks tackles and such. But, he's not a guy you worry about running away from you.
Yeah, absolutely. So with that said, since he's not going to be the guy running away, he's going to be, he's going to be your truck stick. He's going to be the guy, trying to break through the holes and rumbling guys over. And with that said, with Nebraska, as big of a defensive line as they have, it's going to be a tough challenge.
It is.
So who's going to come out on top, Le'Veon Bell or the defensive line?
I would say the defensive line. That's why I'm giving it a slight chance to Nebraska to win this one. It's going to be a tough game. Just like we said earlier, it's going to be a very, very tough game. Hey, give us a call at Talk Sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. We come your way Monday through Friday from 1:05 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. If you've looked at us or talked with us, we're looking for you to get some of our listeners to come on back to WKAR and listen to us in the afternoons right here on AM 870 WKAR. Spread the word around. Tell everyone you can enjoy sports every afternoon right here on WKAR in East Lansing. It's going to be an intriguing game. When you look at let me see if any of these other games strike your fancy. Michigan at Minnesota, Illinois at Ohio State, Iowa at Indiana, Penn State at Purdue. Do you see any of those games being a close competitive game?
Yeah, I think opposed to the last week, I think the games this week are going to be a little more lopsided than in the past. Game to watch for me, Earl, if any this week. If you remember last week, I said Ohio State. That would be a game to watch. Obviously, it was a very close game. They did come out on top. I was wrong. I picked Penn State in that game for the upset. But Ohio State, still, they're playing Illinois. I expect them to win that game. You look at other games in the Big Ten, Earl. You've got Iowa at Indiana. Of course, Jack and his Purdue Boilermakers, you know, they've got a pretty big game against Penn State. I think that for me, that's the game to watch, is the Penn State-Purdue game.
Yeah, that could be a good game. That has some potential. I don't know how much, because Purdue has been a team that hasn't achieved it yet this year. And everyone, like Jack, thought they were going to be a lot better than what they are. Purdue is one of those teams, when you look around and you look at the Minnesotas and the Indianas and those teams, usually one of those teams comes out the pack and plays well. Usually that happens. But this has been one of those years, Indiana, Purdue, Minnesota, none of them have stepped up. They're all basically looking at the bottom of the Big Ten and of their conference, the Legends and the Leaders conferences. So it's just going to be interesting to see if anyone can get them to perform at a higher level than what they were. I mean, I know Jack, like a lot of people, got fooled because Purdue had so many players coming back. They had 18 starters coming back on offensive and defense. Well, you know what they always say about starters? If you got 18 starters coming back, that could be good. Or if you have 18 starters back, that could be bad. Because you talk about 18 starters who coming back from a bad team and a bad situation, and they just plain and simply aren't good enough to make the game better. That's why I think it's going to be a walkover by Penn State.
Well, okay. Very fair enough. Another game for me to watch, Earl. Mm-hmm. Michigan-Minnesota. The reason for that, if you remember, when I was a kid, Earl, I think I was about 13, 14 years old, Michigan had a game at Minnesota. It was a night game. So very similar to what this will be. I don't know if you remember that game, Earl. Mm-hmm. Went into two or three overtimes. It lasted about 4.5 hours. And Michigan, I believe Michigan ended up coming out on top of that game. But you never know. Their history when playing at Minnesota is a little tricky.
Yeah, Glenn Mason has been, he was the coach then, and they always played Michigan tough when he was the coach. They didn't have a lot, but boy, at home, their home games were very, very tough against Minnesota. So, I hope Minnesota gives them a game this year. That's all. I hope they give them a game. And now Denard, if Denard is healthy as he is, they say he is, and he's going to start, then it's pretty much a fait accompli that Michigan's going to win that game. But if he's not healthy and they have to go to the backup quarterbacks, it could get a little dicey. It just could.
Yeah, just a little bit, Earl. But, back to the Michigan State-Nebraska game for a second. One issue I do want to touch on before we jump to the break here is the running game for Nebraska. They've got a guy named Rex Burkhead.
Yes.
Abdullah. Burkhead, obviously a highly touted recruit, 5 stars coming out on Rivals and Scout. This guy had offers all over the country, chose Nebraska, before they were even a Big Ten team. So for me, Earl, besides the fact that Will Golson needs to, put a lot of pressure on Taylor Martinez, let's look at the linebacking core with Chris Norman, obviously, with him starting or not, Tywan Jones last game coming up really big. Yep. I think it's going to be up to them to stop, 100-plus yards that Nebraska put on against Michigan.
Yeah, it is. They are the key to Michigan State's defense. Those linebackers are so mobile, and they move so well. So, I think they can probably do a pretty good job against the running game of Nebraska. But can Nebraska open some holes? And can the running backs have enough time to get through them before they're really shut down? That's the intriguing part. Hey, the time is 20 minutes after the hour, 1 o'clock. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break on AM 870 WKAR.
Hurricane Sandy paralyzed New York and left millions in the dark, showing just how fragile our aging cities are. I'm Ira Flatow. Join me on Science Friday as we talk about rebuilding our infrastructure for the storms of the future, coping with the next big one. That's on Science Friday from NPR.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up on Science Friday at 2 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
Good afternoon. This is Scott Pohl with the weather. Today will be mostly cloudy, and we're expecting a high of 46 degrees. Tonight's low all the way down to 29 and partly cloudy. Clearing up for the weekend, mostly sunny with highs of 45 and 46 for Saturday and Sunday.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527 or toll free, 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. We come your way Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. If you've never called us before, we invite you to become a first-time caller. Join us in the afternoons. Call us up. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. So just give us a call right now and chat sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR East Lansing. And we're going to try to check in if we can with Drew Sharp and with Jack Ebling and see what they think about this week's Big Ten games. And it's going to be interesting to hear what they have to say about the Big Ten this week. And that's one of, you know, we do this every week. We only got, boy, it's amazing. We're down to the last three games of the year. The last three games of the season, so it'll be interesting to see Michigan State, how they fare in these last three games. With Nebraska coming up and with the other ones, so we'll see how it's going to go with the other games this week. And, you know, Nebraska is, you know, they thought they were going to come in and just dominate the Big Ten last year. Well, they didn't do that, so... So then we'll have to see how they do this year. Looks like they're in the running to get a first place in one of the divisions, and then they can play for the title in Indianapolis. So we'll see. But Nebraska, they did not have the impact they thought they would have last year. That's for sure. They thought they would be coming in and be able to run roughshod over the Big Ten. Well, surprised they didn't find that they could do that. It's a lot tougher than what they thought because all the teams basically in the Big Ten play a lot of grounded out football. So that's what Nebraska is facing, and we'll just have to see, will they be better this time around? Can they be better in games, in close games, in the Big Ten? Well, got to tell you, last night there was the Thursday night game. Kansas City was going up against San Diego, and Kansas City ended up losing that game in San Diego. So we'll have to tell you, we'll talk a little bit later on, but we're going to try to catch up with Jack Ebling and Drew Sharp and talk with them. Got to tell you, though, about the big games in the high school playoffs. A lot of good games around the state. A lot of good games prepared, are ready for the high school games. So we're going to see a lot of good football. And we have a lot of the area matchups. Still a lot of teams left in the mid-Michigan area for the high school football games. I mean, East Lansing is at Caledonia. That's going to be a tough game for East Lansing, no doubt about that. Both teams are 7-3, so that should be a very good game. And then we have Owosso at St. John's. They're both 7-3. That's another very good game. I think I'd have to lean a little bit more towards St. John's in that one. And in the first one, boy, when we're looking at Caledonia is pretty good, and East Lansing is good as well. I'll say East Lansing will go out. I guess I'll be a homer on that one. Then we have DeWitt and Linden. That's going to be a hard game for DeWitt to overcome Linden. It should be a good game, but I probably got to go with Linden in that one. And then when you look around to Three Rivers at Williamston, you talk about a tough game to pick. We'll talk about that one, and so we'll see that one. But you almost have to go with Three Rivers a little bit over Williamston. And then Olivet, who beat Lansing Catholic Central last week, they playing Portland, and Portland is really tough. So I got to go with Portland in that one. Then we have Hemlock versus Ithaca. Ithaca is a lock. I don't see hardly anyone getting close to Ithaca, and we'll just see if they at least, I'm pretty certain they're going to get to to Ford Field for another state championship. That's very good for them. Then Dansville is up. Britton Deerfield going up against Dansville. That's going to be a toughie for Dansville. I mean, for Britton. Britton, yeah, for Danville, because Britton, Britton Deerfield is extremely good. So we'll see that. See how that one goes. And then we have Muskegon Catholic over against Fowler. What can you say about Muskegon Catholic? They always play a tough schedule each and every year. They play a very good schedule and play some of the best high school teams around. And then we have Goebbels against Pomona Westphalia. And then you have Battle Creek St. Phillips against St. Patrick's and Portland St. Pat's. Going to be tough games there, and maybe one of them can get out there. Both those games will be tough, and so we'll see a little bit later on the other ones. Well, let's go to the phones. We've got the calls coming in. Hello, you're on the air.
Did you say Ron?
Yeah, you're on.
Oh, thanks, Earl. First of all, I wanted to tell you how much I enjoyed your show last week with the, I don't know if he was a wildlife expert or DNR
or what he was. But yeah, Tom Hugler, yeah.
Yeah, he enjoyed that show.
Thank you.
Along that line, I would direct, certainly caution everyone to be careful out there on the roads because those bucks are chasing does and you just don't know when or where they're going to be moving across the roads this time of year.
No, that's so true. You're very true. Very good advice.
Yeah. College football, of course, is my...
Your passion?
Yeah, my passion. That's the word. Thank you, Earl. And I'm going to be guaranteeing a U of M win this weekend.
I can almost do the same thing. I mean, I really think Michigan's going to beat Minnesota, even though it's a home game for Minnesota. They usually play better at home, but I can't see Michigan getting upset by Minnesota.
Well, Earl, I slipped it by you.
Mm-hmm.
Both of those teams are U of M.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, they are. So U of M is going to win one way. Yep.
Yeah, that's right. And secondly, of course, I've been a Michigan State fan since I watched Bubba back in the 60s and and all the guys back then, and I hope that they will win, but whether they win or lose, I think Michigan State wins, because if Michigan State loses to Nebraska, that almost locks the Legends division to Nebraska and keeps Michigan from getting in there. So
yeah,
I like this game this weekend. Of course, I'd like to see State win, but it won't kill me if Nebraska wins. So
okay, well, I got to tell you, I took a peek at next year's schedule, and I was reading it to Alex there, and we both think that that's going to be a very good schedule. I mean, it's really set up for Michigan State to go a long way next year. I'd be shocked if the only game I see them losing in the first eight games could be Notre Dame. Other than that, I think they're going to be 7-1 going into the last month of the season.
Yeah, next year is definitely their year with a more experienced and uninjured offensive line and with a second-year starting quarterback and with some a competition at the second-string quarterback position that will make it even more interesting should they finally end up having some quarterback injuries that become serious. So I really like them next year also. So
yeah,
thanks, Earl.
Hey.
It was good to talk to you. You guys have a great weekend.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, bye. Okay,
bye-bye. And Alex, another person believes that we're going to have a very good year next year.
Yeah.
The schedule just really plays out well for them, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. But at the same time, Earl, as easy as the schedule plays out for this team, you have to look at it from a BCS perspective, because if they pull out 10, 11 wins and they're in a BCS conference or BCS standing, then when it comes to who is going to get the nudge, they look at the strength of schedule, and they can see that with all the games against these weaker teams and a lot of the games that they're playing, you know, they've got Michigan at home next year, and that's a big advantage with that home field. They're not playing that many tough games besides maybe the Nebraska game, the Wisconsin rivalry maybe heating up. So that's another thing I would look at too.
Yes, those are some games to look at. But you know, you can only play the teams that are that are put in front of you. And I know the schedule. Most of the schedules are made like 9 to 10 years in advance. And so Michigan State's got some tough games next year. But it seems like they can handle them. So you know, I know I should look more at the BCS standings. I just sort of glance at them. You know, I just don't take them to heart that much. I know a lot of people really do, and you know, it does have an impact on the bowl games and the bowl systems and what where you're going to go and all that. But it's hard for me just to look at them. I mean, just to try to break down where this team might go and that team might go, and you know, you look at where the losses are, how much do they lose in the stature and in the standings when you lose. So it's an interesting concept, but you know, I'll look at it at the end of the year. That's for sure, and see it. Now, you know, of course, you and I, what we're going to be doing, we're going to be in a lot of basketball. I know you're going to be going to a few hockey games, but probably hit this few. But we're going to be into a lot of the basketball, the men and the women.
Yeah, so what are you looking to see when it comes to this Tom Izzo team this year? We saw that first exhibition game. We saw the young guy, Gary Harris. What else are you looking for?
Well, I'm looking for more team unit for them to play together. I mean, it takes time to get good chemistry, and getting good chemistry, that usually takes like 7 to 8 games. But once they find it and they have that good chemistry, this team can be very good. You know, they've got a long preseason, so they should be, by the time the Big Ten starts, they should be in pretty good shape.
Yeah, and along with them being in good shape when the Big Ten starts, let's look at not only how the team will be with a record, with the experience, but let's look at how this team will be when it comes to their depth. The fact that Denzel Valentine, Gary Harris, and then when Costello comes back, I mean, they're getting a lot of playing time, and they're going to be expecting a lot of minutes this year.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to have at least 10 people that they'll be able to play running in and out. So I know Tom likes to run people in and out and have a lot of good quality depth.
Right.
And that could happen with this team. I mean, they've got a lot of good players, and they'll have a lot of good depth. And we've seen some of the, you know, some of the remnants, whereas we see Derek Neath could be, or maybe even should be, the team's leading rebounder.
Right.
You know, and we see Denzel will get a chance to play a little point guard. He won't get a chance to play much, but he'll get a chance to play a little point guard. And he likes to play the points, so that's going to help them. Keith Appling is a very good defensive player, so you'll see him out on the court. I mean, the guys that play the best defense are definitely going to play, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And I want to see a lot more of Paul Bird, you know, Paul Bird, and see how he does this year. I want to see a lot more of him. So they've got a lot of question marks, but I really want to wait and see how they look after 7 or 8 games and how the chemistry is folding up then and gets around.
Right. Some things to look at, Earl. Let's look at the last game, because a lot of the listeners, you know, they didn't really catch it. Exhibition, small team, not televised. So that last game, we saw a couple things. We saw a lot of traveling. We saw 3 travels from Derek Nix, and that's our leading rebounder, Shelby. Adrian Payne played pretty decently. Let's also look at how the young guys played. I mean, it was Gary Harris's first college game, and even Izzo said, he just fit right in.
He played his role.
He guarded really well.
He didn't try to do a lot of things that he couldn't do, or a lot of players that game, they tried to do things that they weren't used to doing just because of the crowd and everything.
Right. And then we also saw Austin Trice. I mean, he knocked down a couple tray balls. He looks like his three-point shot is where it should be. A couple other things. One negative that I saw was when Alex Gauna and Russell Bird were both in the game, the rebounding was not good at all. I think it has to do with the height disadvantage, because, you know, Russell Bird, he was playing with Gauna as the 4. He does have the height. He's a great, you know, shooting small forward-ish position. He can play the power forward, I'd say. But when those two were in the game, we saw a lot of issues when it came to rebounding. So I want to know your opinion on that, Earl.
Well, the thing is with those guys in there, their team was just, at that point in time, was a lot quicker than Michigan State, and most teams they're going to face, they're not going to be as quick as that team is, and they were playing undersized forwards of anywhere from 5'5" to 6'8". So that was, I don't really worry that much because that was against exhibition game against a team that was small and quick. So we'll see more of that. But yeah, I think Gauna and Bird will be good for sure.
Now, what about the vocality of Bird as the captain? Because, you know, this is the guy, he's not going to be starting. He'll be getting minutes, but he's a team captain. What do you expect, Earl? You said you wanted to see more of him, but what is your expectations with Bird as the captain and as his role with the rest of the team?
Well, he's going to be a guy who gives a lot of advice to his teammates. He's already seen that, and you can see that he's talking to everyone on the sideline when he's not in the game. And he's what we call the classic, a classic team player. Very good team player, and he's going to help the team. You know, he'll keep, if they get too hyped, he'll get them calmed down. But he's a guy who's going to talk and very, very good character guy. And you need those character guys, and they all, and the team elected him captain, so they expect him to do the same thing and just lead by example. He gives the guys a lot of help and a lot of good information. Well, let's go back to the phones. We've got Todd on the line. Todd, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Good afternoon, Earl.
Good afternoon.
I enjoy the Michigan State basketball talk, certainly. But I look at this upcoming season, and I'm certainly optimistic. I think there's a lot of talent there, a lot of players. I think you're exactly right. You got to figure out your rotations, who plays best with whose strengths, you know, maybe help cover somebody else's weakness. But to me, the key of the season comes down to, and it was readily apparent in the Louisville game, is Keith Appling does not need to score 20 a night, but I'd sure like to be able to see him get 12 a night. And he, again, a supremely talented ball player. I agree with you a lot. He doesn't get credit for his defense and on-the-ball defense. But Louisville just dared him. I mean, Louisville just said, hey, you know what? You know, you didn't make your first two shots, which affected his confidence. And then they just simply, they didn't respect him. I mean, and Louisville's a good team. Very athletic team. Silva and that dang kid were impressed. But to me, that game, to an extent, was over once, you know, Appling had made up his mind, Louisville had made up his mind, and there was nobody else. And, you know, he has to at least have enough confidence in his jump shot. I understand his job is to get the ball to other guys, but these coaches and these good teams, if you're out there playing 5-on-4 and they don't think that you have enough confidence in your jump shot, to me, that's the key, Earl. It really is. He's got to be able to hit consistently an open jump shot.
Well, and I think you'll see that this year because I know he put in an incredible amount of work over the summer to improve his jump shot. Just watch him in practice, and even when he walks around, even at this last game, you're just going to see a much better shooter, and you're going to see a guy who's a lot more relaxed. He's very comfortable in his role now because he was still learning last year, trying to be a point guard, learning when to dish it out, when to distribute. So I think you're going to see a much improved Keith Appling this year. And he really does. He's really improved his shot. He's been working on his shot all summer long. So I think you're going to be very pleasantly surprised to see how Keith Appling is.
And I think that's a good thing for this team to be, you know, very successful. They need it. And another thing I want to, as far as Knicks being the leading rebounder, I think that's probably an ideal situation. But I tell you what, Dawson is just such a natural athlete. You know, I think, you know, you obviously want him to be able to get out and run and do some things on the wing where he can get to the basket. But I wouldn't be the least bit surprised if he stays healthy, which we all hope he is, and every indication that he will be. He is just so, I mean, he just gets off the floor so quickly.
Yeah, he does.
Whereas Draymond was a great position rebounder, and I don't want to underplay his athleticism, but to me, Draymond was extremely skilled at playing angles, knowing which way the ball was going to go. And just, I mean, really, it was like an ESP. He just was like two steps ahead of everyone else as far as playing the angles and understanding. To me, Dawson can get to that part, but, I mean, his ability to get off the floor, I mean, he can almost go twice. I mean, I don't want to say it's Dennis Rodman because I think Dennis Rodman maybe – displayed that better than anyone else that I've ever seen. I mean, maybe with the exception of Bill Russell or guys back then. I don't want to say that. But Dawson can almost get down and up before most people can get up.
Yeah, he's very quick. You can't teach that kind of quickness, and that's just he just got great God-given ability. That's for sure. But Dawson, that is extremely quick, and I think that'll continue for most of the year. Hey, give us a call. The time now, 40 minutes after the hour of 1 o'clock. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break on AM 870 WKAR.
What can a play teach us about science, morality, and the cost of whistleblowing? A lot, even one 130 years old. I'm Ira Flatow. Join me on Science Friday for a look at a new production of the Ibsen classic, An Enemy of the People. Plus an update on voting machine technology. It's all on Science Friday from NPR.
And that's Science Friday coming up on Talk of the Nation at 3 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
The forecast for today, mostly cloudy, the high 46 degrees. Overnight, it'll be partly cloudy and the low will dip down to the upper 20s. Then mostly sunny for both Saturday and Sunday. Saturday's high 45, on Sunday 46. I'm Scott Pohl.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527, or toll free, 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Well, we've got Jack Ebeling on the line, and we'll talk with him about the picks this week. And Alex is going to try to get hold of Drew and see if we can get him. But we've got Jack on the line, so let's get him on and see what's happening. Hey, Jack, how you doing?
Hey, how you doing, Earl?
Okay. How'd the book signing go today?
It went great. We were over at the Downtown Coaches Club, and we're going to be over at SBS on Grand River tomorrow between noon and 2. So if anyone is over there and they want to pick up something to wear to the game or they're looking for something else, they can stop by and do some Christmas shopping. I'd be happy to personalize a book for them.
Okay, sounds good. So hopefully, I know the book is selling well, and that's good. It's always good when you have. I just, you know, we both wonder what if this team was like the last year 11-2 team. I know we can't find out, but boy, you wonder, don't you?
You do, and now when you see things like the fourth quarter last week, you realize how close this team is. But you know, close is like horseshoes and hand grenades.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen. So it's a zero-sum game. You either win or you lose. And they've won three close ones, and they've lost three close ones.
Yeah, that's it. And, you know, I never, beyond my wildest imagination, I never would have saw it. I guess being spoiled from the last 2 years, I never would think that Michigan State would lose three home games.
Yeah, you just expect it after they won 15 in a row that they were going to win. And we saw that last week in Madison. They'd won 21 in a row, the second longest streak in the country, and they didn't believe they could lose that game. But strange things happen. That's why they play it.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You can never get – I mean, I know we say it, but a lot of times I think we feed into it as well. You can't beat the team. They're playing at home, so it's an automatic win. And maybe the players, that gets in their head, they think, well, we're playing at home, and we're just – all we got to do is just throw the ball out there and we'll win the game because we're at home. And a lot of times, as we know, it's not that easy.
No, it's not that easy. A lot of things can happen. And, you know, they have injuries, and you get bad breaks, and you get calls, and a lot of things can change your momentum in a game. If you come down to the end, I remember being told when I was very, very young that if you put yourself in position to lose a close game, then anything can happen. If you don't want to lose a close game, don't play any.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Don't put yourself in the position where you can lose in that fourth quarter. You know,
and
just like I say about boxing, hey, all it takes is one punch. Don't get yourself knocked down or knocked out in the last round when you've been coasting for the last few rounds. You know, you just got to be tough at all times. You know, this week, I would say, Jack, that when I look at all the games we got to pick this week, most of them are pretty easy. I think the toughest game we have to pick this week would be Nebraska at Michigan. Michigan and Nebraska. But other than that, Minnesota.
State hosting Nebraska. That's the tough one.
Minnesota game there. That's in Michigan State and Nebraska. That's going to be the toughest game. Illinois is at Ohio State. Iowa's at Indiana. And Penn State's at Purdue. Not a lot of tough games to pick from this week.
Well, did you get Drew's picks?
No, I didn't get him. We haven't even been able to talk to him earlier today. But he said he was going to be at home this day, but he's not around now. So,
okay.
We'll have to get those a little later.
So, Alex, our standings now, we're at three, right?
Yep.
Yeah, Jack is still three up. Obviously, with the Purdue game last week, Northwestern, so a loss for each of you guys. Now the standings, 57-16. Jack, you're in first, and then Drew and Earl are tied at 54-19. You guys were all 3-3 last week.
See, well, you're going to have to start taking some gambles, Earl. You can start with Illinois over Ohio State if you want.
I got an even better gamble than that. I think it's time for me to start giving a bribe to Alex. It's time for me to start bribing him.
You tried that with a couple other producers, so.
Hey, Earl, maybe it'll work.
Earl, let's face it. You bribed Drew to not come on the show today so he can go to the Big Ten Improvement Conference.
Well, he'll be here tomorrow. He told me that he will be here watching the game tomorrow. So he'll be with us. So, yeah, maybe we can get Drew to help out here, and you know he's going to be the man now. He's trailing by three. You're still in the driver's seat. We've got only 3 weeks left, so we've got enough games to left out.
Okay.
But boy, this week
well,
is.
I assume everyone's taking Ohio State.
Yep.
And what did you decide on Illinois or Indiana hosting Iowa?
I've got to go with Iowa. I think they're the better team. Indiana, you know, we've seen Indiana and looked at them playing other teams. Iowa is just the better team, and I'll be surprised if Indiana gets an upset. So I'm going to go with Iowa.
Well, I'm going to give you a chance here, Earl. I'm going to take the Hoosiers.
Okay, so you're going to take the
Indiana
Hoosiers.
At home is going to beat Iowa this week. And, you know, Indiana's in control of its own destiny, as strange as that seems. If Indiana wins out, it'll be in the Big Ten championship game.
Yeah, it's slim though them winning out, but they have a chance. Well, I assume then maybe you'll give me another chance. Maybe you'll take your Purdue Boilermakers to beat Penn State. They got Penn State coming to their house. Now I'll be reluctant to not take Penn State, but if you want, I'll let you take the Boilermakers.
I don't ever want to hear those words again, Purdue Boilermakers.
Hey,
I got Penn State.
Yeah, well, okay, you got Penn State. I mean, you were at the beginning of the season. I know you were talking very highly about Purdue because they had so many returning back, 18 players coming back. You know, that's the good thing they had 18 players back. And it's also a good thing when they were bad last year and they didn't improve, you know, as much as they should have.
Right.
So exactly. Yeah, we'll do with that one. And then we've got Michigan at Minnesota. Now, there's one. Minnesota always plays Michigan, as you know at home. In their house, Michigan, Minnesota always plays it well. But I'm gonna stick with the Wolverines. I think they're gonna beat Minnesota, but I'll let you pick that. There's another upset for you. You can expand your lead.
In that Michigan Minnesota game, if you want to take the Boilermakers in that one, you can. That's all right. I'll take Michigan in that game.
Okay, so you're gonna take Michigan. Now we got, well, the big one, the best game of the day, Nebraska. You know, at Michigan State, the first time now. How much of a factor do you place in this game as far as them State being the home team? How much does that matter? You think that matters a lot?
Yeah, I think it matters a lot, and I would say whichever team is home is going to have a decided edge. I think that playing this game in Lincoln would change my pick, but playing it here in East Lansing, I think Michigan State's going to win by a field goal.
Okay, well, I'm going to take the opposite. I'm going to go with Nebraska. And I really like Taylor Martinez and what he's done over the year. He's really one of the better quarterbacks in the Big Ten in the country, the way he's playing now. So I'm going to go with him, and because of his quarterback skills, I'm going to take Nebraska over Michigan State. Michigan State does play well at home. They do, we know that. But they've lost so many close ones this year, and I think they're going to lose another. Like you say, you win by three, I think they're going to lose it by three. It's going to be that close.
Well, this will be the seventh game decided by 4 points or less if that happens.
Yeah. And I it's hard to imagine that anything else with that could happen. I think if it becomes a one-sided game, I think it'll be in Nebraska's favor because Nebraska runs the ball so well, and he just definitely Martinez throws the ball so well. So if it gets out of hand,
well, you got the number seven rushing offense against the number seven rushing defense in the country.
Mm-hmm.
Michigan State's defense, Earl, is the top five in some categories, as high as top five, and top 20 in seven different departments. So this is a really good Michigan State defense, and I think they're going to slow Nebraska down.
Yes, and the thing with Nebraska, you know, they have such good interior linemen, going back to Ndamukong Suh, and especially with Michigan State having so many injuries, I can see Nebraska dominating on that line because they just have so many good players and healthy players as opposed to Michigan State, which has a lot of guys who are banged up.
Well, you know, Nebraska has some guys banged up, too. Rex Burkhead might be their best player. I don't know if he's going to play.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they did give up 63 points to Ohio State. Don't
that's true.
That.
Yeah, that's true. They did give up a lot to Ohio
State.
And
they did give up a boatload of yards, over 600 yards, to UCLA.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it looks
like... They are also last in the Big Ten in rushing defense, I believe.
Yeah. Well, we're going to see. It's going to be a good game. I mean, that's one we'll be sitting there watching and have a good game. Maybe we can talk Alex into buying us a hot dog. Maybe we'll do that. We'll get him to buy us a hot dog in the game.
Well, you know, he doesn't make all the big money you do, so you probably ought to buy the hot dog.
Oh, see, we give Alex those little, you know, cards and passes and things. But I know Alex, his girl usually comes to the game. He'll probably hit her up for a few bucks.
Just a few bucks? Is that what she's worth her?
Yeah, so it should be some good games. Well, let's talk about the one good game that we know not in the Big Ten, Alabama and LSU. How do you see that one tomorrow night?
Well, I don't think LSU's passing game is going to open things up enough. But being in Death Valley, I think that's a very, very difficult place to play, one of the toughest in the country. And I look for another very low-scoring defensive game. I don't know that either team will get 20 points. And I just think Alabama is better. Alabama might be the best team in the nation, although I'd love to see an Alabama-Oregon game.
Yeah, that would be to see that, because I would love to see that one as well. But, boy, that's a tough one. And I know I'm leaning a little bit towards the home team, just because, like you say, But all records must be broken. We've got the longest home winning streak right now in the nation, and that's got to come to a rest pretty soon. And I think they might be able to get another win there. But and I think.
Well, you say they might be. I mean, you know, anything might happen. The sky might fall. I mean, is it going to happen or not?
Well, I would say if you think Alabama's going to win, I'm going to say I think LSU's going to win.
Hey, you're wrong again.
We'll see. We'll see if that one, but that's going to be a good one. There are a lot of good games in college basketball. I mean, football tomorrow. So
you and I have two different. We don't know about Drew yet, but you and I have two picks different in the Big Ten, right?
Yep.
You have Iowa and Nebraska, and I have Indiana and Michigan State.
Yep, and I'll slip Alex a few bucks tomorrow to make sure I get a few more.
we have all this on tape. Don't worry.
Hey, make the last year count, Earl.
Yeah, that's what we'll do. We'll make it count and let you give me a little help to making it count. But no,
that's the only way Earl can win, ladies and gentlemen. You heard it right here. Usually he waits till the last week to try to influence the judges. Now he's doing it at the beginning of November.
Yeah, that's a few weeks in. Yeah, who knows? He might just write something down wrong, you know. Accidentally or hit the wrong key on the keyboard, you know?
Before.
Well, working around you, there's a good chance to write it down wrong.
Oh, shoot. Well, let's look at the NFL. You know, it looks like the Lions have a good one this week against Jacksonville. You know, it's funny how Jacksonville never really gets – I mean, they had those few good years, where they went to the playoffs. But other than that, those few years they had, I think it was between 2002 and 2008, 7 and 8, they were a pretty good team. But other than that, that's been a pretty poor team. And now it looks like they're going to have another team pretty bad. But this is a game that the Lions should win.
Well, you know, you talk about Jacksonville not having much success. It isn't like the Lions are the Patriots and the Packers here. I mean, they haven't won a championship since 1957. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you were 32 years old in 1957. So, you know.
Almost as old as you.
Back a long way. So, no, but I think the Lions do have a good chance to win this game, and they really have to win a game like this.
They do. They really do.
do something else. They're going to have some tougher ones down the road, and this is a game they absolutely have to have.
Yes, and they've got so many injuries, Jack. I mean, it's just amazing how many guys they've had to pick up just to keep a team intact. And it looks like the Madden curse is really taking hold on Calvin Johnson, because, you know, I think he's going to break out soon, but, you know, I'm still waiting on him. But, you know, he looks like that Madden curse has got him.
Well, I don't believe in the Madden curse, but I do believe in the Earl Robinson curse. And when you took him with your first-round draft pick in our fantasy football league, I heard Calvin screaming all the way from Allen Park. Oh, no, not Earl. So that's probably had a lot to do with this season.
Well, it could have. I don't think so. But, hey, maybe I'll trade him to you.
That'll work. We can talk after the
show.
Yeah,
we can do that. I'm thinking more and more about maybe doing a trade with you there. So,
well, we can get that done.
Okay. Well, I guess we better
let
you.
Are you going to the basketball game tonight?
Yes, I'll see it. No, I'm going to the basketball game. You know, Michigan State comes first, so I'll see you at the game, and we'll talk. And Alex will be there too, so we can punch on him a little bit.
Sounds good. We'll see you tonight.
Yeah, we'll see you tonight, Jack. Hey, thanks a lot. Bye-bye. And that's Jack Ebling talking sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. And we want to thank you all for listening, and we've got a few more minutes left. And Alex, what are you going to be looking for in this basketball game tonight?
Wow, for the basketball game tonight, the one thing I'm going to be looking forward to is I want Russell Bird to shoot the ball some more. I want to see Russell Bird, you know, display what he was known for coming out of high school back in Indiana.
Yeah, he could shoot the lights out back then, man.
Right, and he never gets the light of day. You know, now, although he is a captain, he does come off the bench with, you know, he's probably seventh or eighth guy off the bench. It's hard, you know, when Keith Abling's taken out of the game, he's not the point guard first. You have Austin Trice. Travis Trice. He doesn't really get the ball, you know, as much to Russell Bird as I'm sure that they would like. So I think that's one thing in particular that I would like to see. And another thing I'd like to see is I'd like to see Derek Nix. I'd like to see them go to him more in the post. I'd like to see, you know, him work on his footworks. You know, Izzo has preached so much this offseason how many strides Derek Nix has taken and improved. So I'd like to see it come in full circle.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'd like to see that too. But Michigan State, that's one thing that Tom Izzo's team, for the most part, they never really work on. It seems like they never really work on getting the ball inside. I mean, if he gets a rebound, he takes it back up like that. But very rarely will you see them going inside trying to get Derek Nix the ball. I mean, I think it would help them if they did, and maybe they will sometime. But hopefully that'll be an element of the Michigan State game that will come to the fruition, and they'll do well in that area, just getting the ball to Derek Nix inside. So I'm with you on that one. Hopefully we'll see that. We'll see that happen a lot more. But other than that, I want to see, hopefully, Matt Costello is healthy this week. I'd like to see him and what he can do. And I'm sort of pleased with Alex Gunn on what I saw from him last week. He just got to build on that and be a little bit more. But he's got to be a more aggressive rebounder, that's for sure.
Right. And another thing, just maybe they could try this. Gary Harris, he fits right in. I like to see what he can do as a ball, as a playmaker. I like to see them put the ball in the freshman's hands. This isn't a big exhibition game. They're not playing Texas or Kansas. You know, this is a good, you know, testing point, you know, to get the base off of it.
Yes, it is. So that'll be a good test, and hopefully we'll see that these guys will learn. That's the thing with all with the two exhibition games and the nonprofit games. You look for guys to just show a little bit of improvement each and every game, and hopefully they'll be a pretty good team by the time the Big Ten season rolls around. Well, hey, we want to thank you all for listening. Thank you all for calling. Invite you to come back and join us again on Monday right here on AM 870 WKAR. If you've never called us before, we invite you to become a first-time caller. Join us in the afternoon. Call us up and talk sports. You've been listening to Michigan State University Radio, AM 870 WKAR East Lansing. We come your way Monday through Friday from 105 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. So give us a call on Monday. We'll look forward to talking with you then. Have yourself a very safe and a pleasant evening. And we'll see you tomorrow. See you on Monday here at WKAR East Lansing. Have a safe evening, everyone.
Thanks for listening to Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR.